me. My name is Morgan Sugg. My husband and I are associate pastors at Friendship Church in Frisco, so it really wasn't that bad of a drive down here today, especially on a Sunday because there is zero traffic on Sundays. Yes, so I didn't like have to honk my horn at anybody. I'm just kidding. I never honk my horn at anyone. So, thank you so much for having me. We have three amazing boys. They are 15, 13, and 7. It's like a little party at my house all the time, praying that we don't go to the hospital every day. No, they really are. They're such amazing boys, and we are so blessed to have three boys. I know Pastor Wooten and Jody are not here today. I do want to say thank you to them and you all for having me. Patrick and Jody are dear friends of ours, and I may even tear up as I say this. They have been so good to my parents and my family. They've given my husband and I a shot to work in the ministry and be a part of the ministry when we were just starting out. They have believed in us. Patrick prayed a blessing over us at our wedding. Jody sang at our wedding. They are just treasures to us. So I am so honored to stand here, and I am so grateful for this opportunity. Y'all have amazing pastors, right? Yes, y'all are so, so blessed. But today I want to talk to you about miracles. I don't know about you, but I like the idea of a miracle, right? But we never really want to be in the position to actually need one, right? The reality is at some point in our lives, we're all going to be in that position where we're going to be in need of something miraculous to take place in our lives or in our family. But here's the thing, how many of you know this, that we serve a God who can do anything, that nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is too hard for him, no matter the situation, no matter the diagnosis. It does not frighten him. It doesn't scare him. It does not take him by surprise or catch him off guard. He does not have to go back to the drawing board and try to figure out how he's going to work your situation out. And he surely doesn't need all of our solutions. How many of you give him solutions? I do this all the time. Like, what if you did this way? Like, he doesn't need that. It's okay. I'm sure he doesn't get upset if we offer him, but he doesn't need them because he is the God of impossible. He did it over and over again in the Bible. And the reality is this, is that he can do it for you. He can work in your life. He can work in your situation. He can work in your mind and in your heart and your body and do the miracle that needs to be done in your life. So this morning, I want to take a look at John chapter 9. And in this book, in this chapter, we see God do we see Jesus do a miracle that had never been done before, and he's going to blow some people's minds. And we start in John chapter 1. I actually left my Bible in my bag. I am so sorry. Would you mind grabbing it? It's the brown one. Yes, perfect. I'm so sorry, you guys. Thank you. So we're going to start in John chapter 9, verse 1. And it says this, as Jesus was passing by, he saw a man who had been blind since birth. His disciples asked him, "Teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. This happened so that the works of God might be brought to light in him. We must do the works of the one who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, spread the mud on the blind man's eyes, and told him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means, or translated, sent. So he went away, washed, and came back seeing. Therefore, his neighbors and those who had seen him as a beggar kept saying, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some say, "This is the one." "No, but it looks like him," others said. But the man kept saying, "I am." So they asked him, "How were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man who is called Jesus made mud, rubbed it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received my sight." Now I'm going to jump over to verse 24 and 25. So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." And the man replied, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for this amazing group of people that you have brought here to hear your word. I thank you for their hearts. I thank you that you see and know every situation. So God, I ask that you move like only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what I know. When I was praying over this and over this message and over each one of you that are here, I know that God wants to do something miraculous in someone's life today. But more importantly, I know that he wants to restore the hope to someone that he is still a miracle maker and that there is nothing impossible with him. So as we take a look at verse 1, it says this, as Jesus was passing by, so he'd come into this town and he was passing by, he saw a man who had been blind since birth. When I was reading this, this word saw jumped out to me. And I want you to know that he sees you. Picture this blind man sitting there on the road like he does day after day, begging. We know from verse 8 that he is a beggar, doing what he always does, the same routine, sitting there begging blind every day since he could, but blind since birth. And then Jesus comes to town and is passing by. I imagine that it was noisy and crowded as it often was when Jesus was coming because everyone was drawn to him. The Pharisees were there to trap him. His disciples were there asking him questions and then the multitudes of others, right? But as it was noisy and it was chaos kind of going around and Jesus passed by and he saw this man. The man could not see Jesus, but Jesus could see him. Jesus didn't just see him. Jesus could, just like all of you, I can see you. Jesus could see everything that was happening, but he saw this man deeply. He saw past just a beggar sitting there on the road. He saw past just a blind man. He saw that this man had been blind since birth and something different was going to happen. Jesus always sees you and he sees to the root of the issue. It might be crazy what's going on in your life. There might be voices everywhere telling you, you should do this to solve your problem and maybe try this. Or maybe if you did this, it's going to be crazy and it's going to be chaotic, but Jesus always sees and he's already made a way. Jesus can see when a friend who needs a financial miracle or someone who needs their relationship restored or needs their body healed or their mind set free or a sister who needs her womb opened up. Jesus always sees to the deeper issue. He even sees when we don't see him or we feel like we can't hear him. He always sees us. He saw this man before the man ever knew that he saw him. I want you to know that Jesus sees you and the miracle that you need. You do not go unnoticed. We often feel hidden or behind the scenes or maybe like what we need seems a little bit too difficult. Or the biggest lie of all is that what we need is maybe just too small. I probably won't bother God with that one. But Jesus sees you. And he knows what you need far before you ever knew what you were going to need. And he's already making a way. Jesus was getting ready to do something in this moment that had never been done. He was literally going to blow the minds of everyone around him, his disciples. The Pharisees were going to lose their mind over what was about to happen. He sees you and desires to do something in your life. In your situation, in your body, in your heart, in your mind, that it will blow people's minds. It will blow your mind. He sees you and wants to do the impossible for you. And then we move to verses 2-5, and it says this. His disciples asked him, Teacher, who sinned this man or his parents that he should be born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned. This happened so that the works of God might be brought to light in him. We must do the work of the one who sent me as long as this day and night is coming when no one can work while I'm in the world. I am the light of the world. Jesus says this phrase, this happened so that. When we are faced with situations that require a miracle, I don't know about you, but I feel like the most common question that we all ask is why? Why me? Why would God allow this to happen? Why this? Why my family member? Why this particular diagnosis? Why? We all want to know why, because I think that we feel like if we can know the answer to why, we can reconcile what is going on, the turmoil going on. So if we know why and this is happening, then maybe we can figure out a way to fix this. But if we could do that, then we wouldn't need God to do the miracle. When the disciples ask who sinned, they're essentially asking, wanting to know, they're asking a version of why. They're wanting to know where to place the blame on this man, on the mom, or the dad. We do that too. We often want to know why this is happening to us, or why we're going through this suffering or this season of struggle, or why we're dealing with this. We want to know why, because then if we can know why, maybe we could place the blame somewhere. And then we could cope. But Jesus gives an answer to this question. He says, no one sinned. It happened so that he could bring light to this man's life. There are plenty of situations in our life where we make choices, other people make choices that cause us to be in need of a miracle. Or there's other times that things just happen. We have no reason, we have no idea why we receive that diagnosis or why we're in need of a miracle. But no matter what, Jesus gives us an answer that allows us to have some peace among the suffering until our miracle arrives. No matter what brought us to the miracle, Jesus tells us he does this to bring light. He does this to bring light. He brings light to this man physically and spiritually, right? Other people get to see the miracle and he gets to experience the miracle. Jesus is always working to bring light to the dark parts of our life. But the question is this, can we be okay not placing blame and not trying to figure it all out and accept this very eternal answer is so that I can bring light to your life? Asking why is not wrong. He is not scared of your questions. He is not shaming you for asking why. But what if we allow the Holy Spirit to say, for light? I want to bring light. I want to bring light to your situation. I want to bring light to your life. What if we can accept this very eternal answer instead of seeking after an earthly one to place blame and to cope like temporarily? What if we can just accept the answer because of light? There is this very heavenly answer coupled with your miracle that is ready to bring light and change not just your life, your physical life, but your spiritual life and the lives of those around you. But are we willing to accept that answer and share that? And then we read verse 6. It says, having said these things, he spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, spread the mud on the blind man's eyes, and then he told him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he washed, and he came back seeing. Here we see that there is a miracle that happens in the mud. Sometimes our miracles are messy. Sometimes they might even be a little bit gross. I would imagine this one was a little gross. But this is the thing. We don't get to decide what our miracle looks like. This blind man did not get to tell Jesus how he wanted to be healed. We either want the miracle or we don't. We either want it the way that Jesus brings it or we don't. In a bit, I'm going to pray again, and I'm happy to pray with each one of you because I firmly believe in not just praying over you, but praying with you in agreement where two or three are gathered, right? I firmly believe in praying together in agreement for miracles to take place because this is what I know, that there are people here that need miracles. So when I pray, the same power that rests on Jesus is the same power that rests in you and I. That's why we can pray for miracles to take place. And I believe and know that he will perform a miracle. But when we pray, we don't get to put parameters around the miracle or stipulations around the miracle. See, years ago, I was very little. My dad was not saved. He was an alcoholic. And my mom had gotten saved. And she was praying for my dad's salvation, as well as both sets of my grandparents. They were all praying for my dad's salvation. And I'm sure in their minds, they had dreamt up all the ways that God could work in my dad's life and save him and bring him to salvation, which in itself is the most amazing miracle that we get to have. But this is how my dad got saved. 2 a.m., he comes home drunk, sits down on the couch, turns on the TV, and TV preacher Jimmy Swaggart is there. And oh, Pastor Jimmy Swaggart was preaching a sermon called But God. And my dad, in his 2 a.m. drunken state, sits there and watches this message called But God. And my dad gets saved at 2 a.m. right there in our living room. That is, yes, my dad is our pastor in Frisco. He's truly one of the most amazing men. I wish you could all, some of you know him, some of you don't. I wish you could all know him. He's amazing. But get this, my mom did not get to put stipulations in her prayer on how God was going to choose to save my dad. I'm sure she could have thought of every other way but bit Jimmy Swagger drunk at 2 a.m. But that's not what God did. And in fact, my dad's testimony in that moment has reached many, many men and women who struggled with the same thing. Because God always knows better. But we don't get to put parameters on how God performs the miracle. It might look unconventional, and it might be difficult, and it might be messy. But it's a miracle that has been created uniquely for you and your situation. God is so good like that. He cares so deeply for you that he made a miracle specifically for you, tailored perfectly for your situation. So we need to receive them the way he gives them. I want to encourage you, do not miss the miracle because it's messy. The man didn't get mad because Jesus wiped mud on his eyes made out of spit. He didn't get offended. He didn't question it. And he didn't say, oh, that's nasty, never mind. This miracle was messy. It was muddy. And are we willing to receive the miracle that is messy and unconventional? But get this. The blind man, he's blind. It's dark. Jesus wipes mud on his eyes. It makes it darker. It might get darker before it turns to light. He was blind, so, you know, it was already dark, and then Jesus puts an extra layer of darkness on it. It might appear like things are getting worse before they get better, but do not give up. The miracle might be messy, and it might get dark, but it is your miracle, and he has it prepared, so do not give up. And then secondly, we see this man walk in victory. Jesus wipes the mud on his eyes and tells him, go wash. I don't know if this guy had some friends around him to help him get to the pool of Siloam, but Jesus didn't tell his friends, y'all go help him. He didn't tell his disciples, go help him. He told that man to get up and walk to the pool of Siloam and wash. He told him to go. That man had no idea whether his miracle had taken place because not only was he blind, but he was blinded by the mud. So he had no idea if he was about to see light or not. Our healing, our restoration, our freedom, our miracle requires us to walk in faith and obedience, even when it's not looking like the things are turning around for you and I. We must keep walking, prophesying, talking, acting like the miracle has happened. We must walk in faith and obedience. That man had to walk in faith to that pool and be obedient and wash it off so that he would know whether his miracle had taken place. Sometimes we're missing our miracle because we're not choosing to walk in victory and we're not walking in obedience. You see, I lived a great deal of my life crippled by fear and anxiety. Like, so debilitating that if I told you all the stories, you would be like, she is crazy. It was because of my past. I experienced something very tragic, and man, the enemy had a heyday in my head. And I lived so controlled by fear and anxiety. But here's the thing, when I was delivered from that, I was not in the middle of a panic attack or an anxiety-stricken, fear-stricken moment. I wasn't delivered while I was in the middle of an episode. I wasn't miraculously lifted out of that. No. It was a moment in my car when Jesus and I were having conversation, that's how I pray, just talk to him like I'm talking to you now. We were having a conversation and I was talking to him about fear and anxiety and the things that had brought me to this place. And then in this conversation, he's revealing some things to me and I'm working through these things with him. And then he's like, no more. You're free. You're free. We've dealt with this. You're free. No more. And in that moment, I was like, okay, I'm free from fear and anxiety. All right. But I had to walk in victory. I had to walk in faith. Because I had not been put to the test yet, right? So the next time I encountered something that would typically set me off into a panic, right? It was in that moment the Holy Spirit was like, remember I said you were free. You do not have to act like that anymore, right? I had to walk in faith. I had to walk in obedience. I had to walk like I was free. I had to walk like that thing didn't control me until I came face to face with it again. I was like, no more. You don't have control over me. Our miracles and our victory require faith. They require us to walk in obedience. The man walked in faith and obedience to the pool to find out whether his miracle had taken place. Some miracles are instant. I've seen them happen. And others take a test, but both require faith and obedience. We must learn to walk in victory. And then verse 10 and 11 says this. So they asked him, then how were your eyes opened? And he answered, the man called Jesus made mud, rubbed it on my eyes, and said to me, go wash in Siloam. So I went away and washed, and I received my sight. And then verse 25 says this. The Pharisees are at him again, asking him all the questions. And the man says, I don't know whether he, talking about Jesus, is a sinner. One thing I know is I was blind and now I see. Your miracle becomes your message. If you want to go ahead and come on up and start playing. He sees you. He's already created your miracle. It's to bring light to your life and those around you. It might be a little bit messy. It might be a little bit unconventional. But you must learn to walk in victory, in faith and obedience. Because your miracle becomes your message. This man did not have all the answers about who Jesus was. But all he knew is that he was blind and now he sees. People thought it was crazy. Some believe, some had doubts, and the same is true with you. I tell people some miracles that I've experienced, and some people are like, wow, so captivated. And others are like, interesting. I don't care, because there is nothing that can dispute or change the fact that how much I believe I know what God has done in my life and what I know he can do in yours. It is a responsibility of ours to share the message of our miracle. There are probably several of you out here that have all I know moments. All I know is this and then this. And there are several of you out here that I know probably need an all I know moment. I have several all I know moments. I told you about me being stricken with fear and anxiety and God delivering me from that. I was sick as a child. I had rheumatic fever. We lived in Midland, Texas. We had to come to Dallas. I was 5. And we had to come to Dallas to go to Children's. My dad had to pick my frail body up out of the car and carry me in because I could not walk. I was in so much pain. We sat there for a couple of hours. They ran tests. And in those couple of hours, things began to change. And the doctor came back in and put a second set of scans up and said, these two are not the same. I jumped off the table and I ran out of that hospital. All I know is that I was carried in, but I walked out. All I know is that my third born was born gray and barely breathing. And now he's a perfectly healthy 7-year-old. All I know is that my brother's very first vertebrae was broken in a car accident, and the doctors did not know what they were going to do because they could not operate. And on Friday, they said, we don't know what we're going to do. And on Monday, it was perfectly healed. All I know is that there were times I had no money in the bank account, and what money I did have, God called my husband and I to give. All I know is that on Sunday morning, I had no money. I gave whatever it was. And on Monday afternoon, God came through and delivered twice as much as we had given. All I know is this. All I know is that on a Friday, I received a call from my pediatrician saying that my second born, Colin, had cancer, and come Monday morning, he did not. Right? See, we have these all I know moments. I don't know why God chooses to do them certain ways on these earthly ways, but eternally, he does it to bring light. We have these moments. All I know is this and this. He does it throughout Scripture. The Israelites were trapped between Pharaoh and the Red Sea, and he parted the waters. Jericho walls were come crumbling down, and Rahab stayed alive. Her house was literally in the walls, yet her and her family were saved among the rubble because the walls came crumbling down. All she knew is that she was a harlot, and God saved her from the crumbling walls. We see it with Daniel. He was in need of a miracle, and God did this messy miracle. Though he was put in the lion's den, he shut the lion's mouth. We see it with his three friends in the fire. God does these miracles. We don't always understand them or can't figure it all out, but he does miraculous things. He did it with Lazarus. We don't know why Lazarus surely had to die and be buried for 4 days, except for to bring light and show his glory. He does these amazing things. My question is this. Do you have an all I know moment, or are you in need of an all I know? All I know is this, but this. God desires to do the impossible in your life. He sees you and he wants to bring light in you and through you to those around you. But we do not get to choose what that miracle looks like. It might be a little bit messy, but we must walk in faith, in obedience. The hardest thing about believing in a miracle is we don't want to get our hopes up and then be let down. God will never let you down. If you're being tempted with a thought like, I want to pray too much, I want to put too much faith in that, because that is a lie from the enemy. He's trying to keep you, cripple you, hold you back from receiving all that God has for you. God will never let you down. It may not look like what you think it should or what you want it to look like, but he is not in the business of letting you down. Romans 8:28 tells us that he is working all things together for the good of those who love him. We must allow our minds, when we're questioning, to refocus on his light and his glory, saying, I need you, Jesus. I need a miracle no matter what it looks like, as long as it brings your light and your glory. We have to remember our hope is not in the healing, it's in the healer. Our hope is not in the miracle, it is in the miracle maker. So you don't have to worry about getting your hopes up if your faith and hope are in him, not how he performs. No matter how he works, he's going to work on your behalf, and he has got a miracle in store for you. We just keep our hope in him. We must have our hope in the one who can do the impossible. Believing that as we come together and pray today, that miracles are happening. When he says he will do it, he will surely perform it. Not a single promise has ever not come to pass. Where two are gathered together, he is in our midst. So when we stand here in agreement together, we are going to believe that miracles are happening. It requires our faith and our obedience. God desires to give you all I know is moments. All I know is I was barren, but I have a child. All I know is I was addicted, but now I'm set free. All I know is I was living in fear, but now I have peace. All I know is I was trapped in my past, but now I'm free. All I know is I was sick, but now I'm healed. All I know is I was a sinner, and now I'm saved. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. God desires to bring light to the dark places in your life, bringing restoration and healing and a wholeness to our lives. The miracle might be muddy and it might be messy, but do not give up. It might be unconventional, but it is not impossible. Do not give up. Walk in faith. Walk in victory, because he already has the miracle working on your behalf. He is a miracle working God, and he is bringing light and victory to your life. They're going to play, and I know there's a few of the people on the prayer team. I know that y'all have already prayed, but I would love more than anything to stand with you in agreement for whatever you might need today. Whatever miracle, there's no miracle too small or too big, because he is the God of impossibles. So the prayer team, those that are in here, if you would like to come up, I would love to agree with y'all, those that need prayer for a miracle, to agree with you in prayer tonight.